You're listening to Totten's Tom. Welcome back to the Totten's Tom podcast, your Tennessee Titans podcast for the Pigskin Podcast Network. My name is Tanner Staggs, and I'm here, as always, with my brother Tyler Staggs.
As always.
Okay, don't. I mean, that's just the way that I do my intro.
Look, I got to say, welcome back. Glad to have you back on here.
Glad to be back. Not under these circumstances, but I'm glad to be back.
Wish it was better circumstances and a Titans win, but, you know, it is what it is.
So, how are you doing on this Titans loss day?
Game
season opener. Before we get into everything and how the game went, Titans versus Cardinals, week one, the season opener, home opener for the Titans. Let's go ahead and plug everything. I'll let you get started with that.
Guys, if you want to check out our merch, our shirts, hats, phone cases, stickers, all of that good stuff, all you have to do is go to titans-time.myshopify. That's shopify.com/collections. If you're listening to the audio pod, make sure you go, if it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, either follow, subscribe, whatever it is, rate us 5 stars, leave us some comments, some questions on there. We'd love the interaction. If you're watching on YouTube, go down. If that subscribe button is red, hit it. Turn it gray. Turn on the post notifications. Make sure, drop a like on the video. That like is going to, let's say that like, for each person that likes the video, that's going to help the Titans' chances of coming back even stronger next week against the Seahawks. Share the video with your family and friends, and go down, leave us some comments, give us your thoughts on the game.
Also, make sure that you're following us on social media, the ones that we're most active on. Twitter is Titans_Tom, Facebook is Titans Time, and then on Instagram, it is Titans Time Podcast. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about this game, Titans home opener against the Arizona Cardinals, which coming in out of this stretch of the first two games, I did not think it was going to be the toughest one. Obviously, the Cardinals had a different opinion. They seem like a really good team, and we're going to talk about that more later. But I believe I'm kind of okay. So yeah, the final score 38-13. I was forgetting the missed extra point there, and for some reason was thinking 14 for a second. But 38-13. Sorry. And it was just honestly an ugly game all around. Lots of stuff to unpack with the Tennessee Titans, offensively, defensively, on special teams, and then a lot to unpack, honestly, with the Cardinals as well, because they look really good.
They were a team who I thought our receivers could take advantage of their secondary, and that did not happen. Which, granted, that is because of their pressure up front, and I have to say our half-ass offensive line this game.
It was not a great performance for the offensive line.
As you can tell, my voice is getting pretty close to shot right now because I was yelling a lot and I was not happy with our offensive line.
I mean, so they had their problems in the run game as well, but it really speaks for itself that they gave up 6 sacks. And the fact that
five of them to Chandler Jones.
I was just about to make the point. The fact that you give up 5 of those sacks to one player on the opposing team just shows not only were the offensive line just wasn't executing its job, but what were the offensive line coaches doing, or the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, what were they doing to ensure that Chandler Jones was not getting into the backfield? Because it didn't seem like it was a whole lot.
Even if he didn't get back there and get a sack, he had pressure on Tannehill.
Exactly.
And it didn't matter if he was going against LaJuan, if he done a move in to Saffold and Ben Jones, or if Kendall Lamb was out there. It didn't matter who was out there. He was having his way today with the Tennessee Titans. And I seen someone say this on Twitter. Can't remember who it was, but it did make me, I don't want to say chuckle a little bit, but kind of, you know, raise your eyebrows that's a good point, because they were when Chandler Jones breaks the sack record, for a season this year, he needs to go back and thank the Titans for giving him 5 in week one.
Absolutely. Honestly, either the Titans' offensive line was just incredibly bad, or Chandler Jones this season is about to have one of the best defensive performances for a full season that we have ever seen. Because right. if that is the way that he plays every single game, and that was not just a product of the Titans' offensive line not having their shit together, not being ready, that is bad news for whoever he plays against.
Credit to him on his film study, because I believe that he was the one who, in the first quarter, hit Tannehill on the play action, caused the fumble where the Cardinals got it at the 1 yard line, because that just shows the film study that he went back and done from last year, because this is a play action that the Titans love doing.
That's a play that they ran all of the time last season. And it looks like it's going to be pretty.
It was like always open, because Tannehill could roll out. He had time because everyone committed to Henry. Chandler Jones said, "No, I'm not doing that this time. I'm making a beeline straight for Tannehill." And when Tannehill turned around, Chandler Jones was right there, there was nothing he could do about it.
I mean, it seems like that play action play is going to be something that is going to be used a lot again this year if they don't say, well, if it turns out that way, we're going to go away from it. I mean,
right. And really, it wasn't just Chandler Jones. You had J.J. Watt, even though, like, he didn't have sacks or anything like that, or a lot of sacks. I can't remember who
got the other sack.
But either way, he was still getting in the backfield and putting pressure on Tannehill. He was getting back there and being able to trip Derrick Henry up in the backfield. It was just all around a very rough day for the Titans.
Rough day offensively, because the offensive line had trouble getting it together, which really was just a ripple effect to the rest of the offense.
And then you had drops by Swaim, Julio.
And Julio's another guy that we're going to have to talk about at some point during the show, I'm assuming here soon, because he did not come out and play a great game. The defense had their struggles. I don't know where you want to go with this, but I don't know if we can hound on the offensive line anymore. Honestly, there's a lot of questions to be answered and a lot of things that we are just not going to know how they're going to play out until we see this team start to get some practices in with the starters actually practicing, because that's something that has to happen, and then iron these things out over the course of a couple of games.
Right, and here's where I want to go with this. First off, I want to touch on the defense. Did the defense play their best game today? No. You had Kevin Byard, who got beat a couple times. You had Jackrabbit, who on a couple of plays against DeAndre Hopkins just lost his footing and fell, and DeAndre Hopkins is standing there wide open for big gains. Don't know what was going on there. And you have Elijah Molden, who got beat on, they were just in press man coverage, and he got beat off the line for an easy touchdown. But that being said, the defense is not what lost us this game, I do not feel like, because the defense had a tall order of our offense not performing up to what we expected from them, and every time they turned around, they were having to get right back out there on the field, and it was a hot one today in Nashville.
So you might not be able to tell on camera, but you got a little bit of lobster sunburn going on.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. The defense is not what lost the game completely. My opinion does differ from yours a little bit, because I do believe that although they had to get on the field probably a lot more often and with a lot less time in between than normal, I just feel like there were a lot of situations where, A, players just didn't make plays. B, the play calling was bad. I thought Jackrabbit was, this might be an unpopular opinion. I don't know. I haven't seen a whole lot on Twitter about it. I thought Jackrabbit was awful, and I hope that he can get better, because right now, other than Christian Fulton, I don't see another guy that can potentially step in there and be that person that is guarding the other team's number one wide receiver. Jackrabbit can't do it. I hope Christian Fulton or someone else can step up and do that. But today, DeAndre Hopkins was showing why he is probably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Well, I want to say this. Because me and you were texting back and forth on this a little bit, and I did agree that Jackrabbit was having problems with Julio. But
with DeAndre Hopkins.
Sun
poisoning.
No, there's just so many bad things from today that it all runs together. Sorry. He was having troubles with DeAndre Hopkins, and the only thing we can hope for is that this was just a bad game for him, and that he can step up and be going against these number one guys. Again, the Cardinals' first play of the game, I was watching. Of course, I'm trying to watch everything that's going on the field, and I look over, and I see DeAndre Hopkins wide open and Jackrabbit laying down, having to get up off the ground.
Huge gain for DeAndre Hopkins, which honestly sort of set the tone there for the first couple of drives of the game, because, I mean, right off the bat, just boom, the Cardinals have this huge gain, and they're already a majority of the ways down the field right after the Tennessee Titans go three and out. So that was huge.
Right. So whenever he falls down, I mean, there's not much that can be done there because, like I said, DeAndre Hopkins is standing there wide open for a big gain. And then later on in the game, luckily this was a shorter route, but Jackrabbit was playing off of DeAndre Hopkins, and he's going back. Hopkins turns. It's like a curl route. And Jackrabbit goes to plant. He falls again. And luckily this time, like I said, DeAndre Hopkins is in front of him, not behind him. So he's able to get up and stop him. But that's the thing that got me is, I'm thinking this may have just been a bad game for him and that he can rebound from it.
And I really hope so, because I had high hopes for and I still do, honestly. I think this is one thing that we need to say before we get too far into the show, because we are going to be pointing out a lot of negative things, honestly. Right. I mean, you have to after a game like this.
There are things that have to be addressed and have to be worked on. And unfortunately, we kind of had the Brown syndrome from a couple years ago. We had all of this hype, just like they did. They brought Odell in. Oh, they get on this hype train. And us as Titans fans, I mean, we did that because we kept asking, Julio, come here. Who is going to stop this three-headed monster of Julio, AJ, and Henry? Especially when you have Tannehill slinging the ball to AJ and Julio. Like, defenses have to pick their poison. How do you stop these guys? And, I mean, I put out a tweet about it. I sent it to you. We have our answer on how you stop these guys. Our offensive line not holding up so Tannehill has protection.
Yeah, and
it just, it's a reality check. I mean,
absolutely.
There's players that have said it before. When you're in the offseason or ramping up towards the regular season, everyone in their head is a Super Bowl champion.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the goal. That's where you want to get to. So then you have games like this that are just humbling games. I mean, season opener at home, and you get smacked like they got smacked. What we really need to watch for is how this team rebounds, because they can easily, with how their schedule starts out, end up in a very bad place. So they have to come out and rebound and get a win next week in Seattle, or worst case, if they lose that game, they definitely have to beat the Colts in week three. One little bright spot I want to point out. The Seahawks did us a favor this week. They actually beat the Colts.
Yes.
So the Colts don't get that one up. And unfortunately, the Houston garbage Texans are leading the AFC South right now at 1-0.
Honestly, I'm happy about that.
You had them and the Jaguars facing off
exactly
against each other. So it was going to be one of those teams leading the AFC South after the Titans and Colts lost. And I'm not too worried about that, because the Texans, they're not going to win this division.
No, in the long run, the Tennessee Titans or the Indianapolis Colts, one of those two teams, is definitely, well, hopefully both teams, not just because of, if the Houston Texans have a better record than either one of those teams, I'm going to question what I know about everything.
And here's another thing. It's not like the Colts' schedule is any easier than the Titans to start out. They opened up with Seattle. Next week, they have the Rams.
Which is going to be a tough game.
And then they come to Tennessee. So, I mean, you're looking at these two teams that are supposed to be at the top of the AFC South, and we could potentially see both of them coming into their game in week three at 0-2.
Well, you talked about rebounding just a second ago, and honestly, if the Titans don't have a great game plan turning this thing around and can't rebound well, they could easily be 2-6 after week eight, which would be a terrible position to be in. Sounds terrible. I don't want any part of it. So now
it's a long season, but if the Titans don't fix some things that are going on, it's going to be an even longer season.
Absolutely. So on defense, there were problems with the secondary. There were problems keeping Kyler Murray contained, which don't get me wrong, that's a hard task.
It is
hard to handle.
And I want to throw out this stat right quick because I was curious about it. So Kyler Murray only had 20 rush yards, but I guarantee you he ran probably for over 200 yards, scrambling around on third downs to eventually find someone down the field.
And I just want to make mention of the fact that the play after they got the fumble, got on the goal line, and then they ended up having some penalties, which brought them back a little bit. And then it's third and goal, I believe. And Kyler Murray, I can't remember. It doesn't matter if he was in shotgun, whatever. Anyways, he takes the snap. He ends up rolling out to the right. Mm. You obviously were at the stadium. On TV, one of the announcers, can't remember who it was, says, "This is where Kyler does some of his best work." And it was more like, "This is where Kyler finds number 10. And he does some of his best work," because he just puts it up where literally nobody else can get it. It honestly, 100%, I thought DeAndre Hopkins was out of bounds. And then it shows the replay, and this guy's nowhere near being out of bounds.
Well, it's so crazy because when you're there, like from where we're sitting at, close to the Titans tunnel, we're on up a little bit, and you can't exactly see like the line at the back of the end zone right there. Because just people standing up and some stuff blocking it. So I seen DeAndre Hopkins coming open at the back of the end zone, running, and Jackrabbit trying to keep up with him. And as soon as I seen that, I was like, oh no. Like, please do not let Kyler Murray see this. He saw it, like you said, put it up to DeAndre. And from where we were at with everyone standing up, we were hoping that somehow Jackrabbit had pushed him out of bounds, but he just, after he skied up for it and caught it, he basically just let his legs go dead. They tapped in, and it, like you said, he was just doing what he does.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just such a great wide receiver. Honestly, I thought when he was traded away from the Houston Texans that we weren't going to be tortured by DeAndre Hopkins anymore.
Even with J.J. Watt being traded away from the
Chiefs. And J.J. Watt as well, which he wreaked a lot of havoc. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
Right.
He did a lot of things that altered what the Titans were trying to do. And speaking of altering what you're trying to do, I'm going to hit on that here in just a second. But last thing for me on the defense is, I don't know exactly what all of the issue is. Don't know if they just need to, because there's a lot of new faces. I don't know if they need to get used to working together or if there's something still going on with the play calling. I mean, things seem to be different as far as how they're playing and the plays that they're calling. They seem to be trying to be more physical. They're on the wide receivers a little bit harder. I don't know if they just need some time or if there are some real problems there.
Here's what I'm going to say on it, and this is just my takeaway. Go to the comments and let us know what you think on this. But for me personally, sitting there watching this, I think if they were to be going against a quarterback that did not have the scrambling ability of Kyler Murray, the defense would have been doing a lot better. Because Kyler was scrambling around on these third downs and even some earlier downs and just buying time for his receivers. And even though we were getting guys right there around Kyler, they couldn't get their hands on him. I mean, he was just so quick and he's so small, he's hard to get a hold of. And that allowed him to buy time. It's hard for the secondary to cover that long. So someone comes open, he's able to find them. And that's what I'm talking about. If you have a quarterback that is a pocket quarterback, he doesn't have that scrambling around ability and just basically the playmaking ability to where he can just extend plays like that, I believe the Titans would have had, you know, a lot of sacks today if they were facing someone like that. Unfortunately, we're going to be going against a couple more quarterbacks that can do that same thing.
I was going to say, honestly, the biggest question for the Titans defense right now, because I think you made a great point, is how can they get better against scrambling quarterbacks or quarterbacks that have the ability to extend plays with their feet, because you have Russell Wilson in week two. And then past that, I don't necessarily know when the next game would be that they are playing someone. I mean, I know that they have the Bills with Josh Allen. He can run. Underrated, but he can run and extend plays. And then, honestly, just going through the AFC in the playoffs, I mean, you have Lamar Jackson. You have Patrick Mahomes, who, again, is not the fastest, but AFC championship. I mean, he had the halftime deal where nobody could bring him down.
Even going back to the Super Bowl, when you have the Buccaneers defensive line chasing him around.
They had a hard time grabbing him.
But you face Josh Allen and then Patrick Mahomes right after that.
Exactly.
So it's guys that can extend plays. You know, the guys that I'm talking about would be more like Big Ben or, you know, Tom Brady, guys like that who, you know, they're not going to kill you with their legs and scramble around. And the Titans defense done what I said they needed to do in the game preview, which is they didn't let Kyler run north and south on them. I said that you need to keep him moving sideline to sideline.
But then the secondary just eventually broke down.
Right, but you still have to be able to get to him. Like, when you start running him sideline to sideline, you need to get him running to the sideline where he's running out of bounds.
Right.
Not letting him circle back around and just kill you. But touching on the defense, just a little bright spot for me, just because after last year, you're bragging rights over me for bold predictions.
Okay.
My bold prediction for this game was that the Titans defense would hold Kyler Murray to under 30 rushing yards and that they would hold DeAndre Hopkins under 100 receiving yards. Granted, DeAndre Hopkins could have had a much bigger day than what he had.
Absolutely.
But Kyler Murray finished with 20 rushing yards and DeAndre Hopkins finished with 83 receiving yards. So I am now up 1-0 on you in bold predictions.
I'm going to...
Granted, I wish that would have happened with a Titans win.
Exactly. But, and just know that I will end up catching back up to you before the season is over.
No.
With the defense, basically the biggest questions are what's going to happen in the secondary? How is that pecking order going to eventually pan out? And are there going to be some guys that step up?
But right now... I mean, we have to go, I feel like, with the guys that we had out there.
Right.
Because I don't feel like Caleb Farley is ready to play yet and come into that role. I think he needs a little bit longer to develop, get slowly worked back into the game. I mean, he hasn't played since 2019.
Right.
So we have to roll with what we got. And it may just take the team a week or two to get going. Like, the Cardinals came out looking like they were ready to play. The Titans
now,
did not.
I don't know how their practice situation was before the season, especially in late preseason, but I do know how the Titans was, and I know how it worked. Do you expect that we see some of the starters more involved in practice now?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. This past week was the week where we saw the starters really all getting back out there.
Yeah,
together.
But 1 week? I mean, right. is that enough?
That's what I'm talking about. At first, like a month ago, we kind of downgraded and told people not to worry about Julio not being out there. You know, he's a professional. Him and Ryan Tannehill will get it figured out. What we did not think about was at the point that Julio would be getting back, Ryan Tannehill going on the sickness/reserve list and being out of practice for 10 or so days. So then he finally gets to come back, and they only have this 1 week to work everything out. And you can kind of see that. And all honesty, I would have to go back and watch the game. But from what I was seeing today, I think our two best offensive linemen today were the two that didn't get to come back to practice until the middle of the week because they were on the sickness slash reserve list in Ben Jones and Nate Davis.
Yeah, again, and even Nate Davis had a couple of moments where, I mean, I can't remember exactly who it was, if it was Watt or Jones, but they just got right through the line, and it was Nate Davis.
And see, that was something I was hoping you could elaborate on more because, like I said, I'm sitting down at the corner of the end zone, so I can't always see, especially if they're down at the other side of the field, what's going on. So I was hoping from you watching on TV, you could tell me if I was kind of right in my thinking there, because it seemed like every time Chandler Jones was really wreaking havoc, he was coming from Taylor Lewan's side.
Yeah, and so basically Chandler Jones did a lot of damage to Taylor Lewan. I mean, Taylor Lewan even, I'm sure that you've seen it, it was enough that he tweeted about it, which I don't...
I actually have not seen it.
I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was like... Basically, he gave props to Chandler Jones, and then he was like, you know, thanks for exposing me. I know that I have to be better. Whatever. I don't know. In my opinion, I don't care if he tweets or not. I know some people were kind of upset, and they were like, stay off of Twitter until your gameplay is better. I don't care what he does as long as he ends up putting in the work and doesn't let something like that happen again.
As long as he improves, do your thing.
Yeah, whatever. So, in conclusion, I mean, the offensive line just collectively was not good. And that was apparent. Lewan was bad, which was really unexpected. But, you know, he's got a lot of you know, getting used to things again to do. I mean, that sentence didn't really flow well out of – that didn't sound right. He's got to get back used to things.
I get what you're saying because he's coming back from an ACL injury, really his first major – injury.
Right.
And he had to have, you know, the first thing he had to have surgery for. So, but he was out there some in the preseason and he looked pretty good.
Which, granted, it was preseason.
It was, but you would think that for a guy that's been in the league as long as he has, like, he would just be able to hop right back in.
Another thing, Chandler Jones is a tough matchup to come back to your first regular season game on.
Right.
So, that makes it a little bit tougher, but collectively, offensive line was bad.
I mean,
I thought Ben Jones was pretty decent.
That was the thing that, like, Lewan ended up coming out later in the game. They said it was for, like, cramps or something like that, and Lamb come in. I cannot believe we let go of Dennis Kelly. Pretty much with that money brought in Lamb, because he had, like, 10 or 12 snaps, and out of those... I can't remember how many he allowed pressure on when it was a passing situation. And he also had two false starts.
I also feel like, is he not like mostly a right tackle, not used to playing left tackle?
I thought that he was a left tackle that they were trying to move.
I don't completely know. So I don't want to say something that's wrong. But regardless, you're right. He did not look good. One thing we can hope for is that Ray Dunes really comes on and starts to play really well.
He was inactive today for some reason.
Right. So, pretty much there's just a lot to be improved on there for them.
We've kind of harped on the O-line.
Yeah, I want to move to some other things on the offense.
We have made our point of we are not happy with the offensive line. They need to get their shit together. So
I want to move on to other things offensively because – one thing that I sort of noticed was obviously the Tennessee Titans, they hired from within, which meant they're kind of going to be running a very similar offense.
Right.
And they did. And their offense is sometimes very, very good. When teams figure out your offense and they are able to – now, granted, sometimes a team may be able to stop your offense 1 week and then you play them again down the road and they can't stop it. But you have to have a plan for when what you're doing is not working. Okay,
right.
You have to have a plan for when you can't run play action plays because your offensive line can't hold blocks long enough. You have to have a plan going into that to say, hey, we got this little set right here that we can start to run if we need to start making quick passes because our offensive line can't hold a block to save their life.
You kind of have to wonder a little bit, though, and this is just something I'm going to throw out there to you. Do you think that maybe they just kept going, especially later on in the game when they probably realized they weren't going to come back, instead of just trying to throw some stuff out there or change it up, they were like, it's a long season. This is the first game. Just stick with what we're doing.
I mean, that is possible. I just don't see that.
Not saying that it's the right call to make there.
Right. I just don't see something like that being in the realm of what Mike Vrabel is. So, I don't know. But, you know, I saw some things out there that said that Derrick Henry didn't look good at all. Now, granted, those comments were kind of few and far between. I mean, it's hard to look good when the offensive line is really not playing good.
There were a couple plays where the offensive line really started stepping up, and Derrick Henry had some better holes to try and go through, and he started making the defense pay. There was one, oh, I jumped up. I thought he was gone.
I thought he was going too. I couldn't see upfield like you probably could. But I thought he was going.
All he had to do was beat that one last guy.
And I assumed that.
They weren't going to catch him.
Yeah. Now, another thing that we have to remember with Derrick Henry is this is an every season thing.
He starts slow.
It's the beginning of the season. Wait until, what, November? Wait till November-ish. And then Derrick Henry is going to be the guy. I mean, he's going to have these games that, in the beginning, sometimes he may break 100 yards and have a touchdown or two, which is a great game. There's going to be games here to start off the season where he's going to have 70, 60, maybe sprinkling a touchdown here and there. He will pick up the pace. That this is what he does. We have to get used to that.
Yeah, and like I said, it was just there were a lot of times when he got handed the ball, there was already someone in the backfield that he was having to try and make them miss. Now, there were a couple times where he met someone one-on-one, and you can tell this guy is a lot smaller than him, and you're like, dude, come on now. You can't do that. The team needs a spark. Use your size to your advantage and run this dude over and make something more of it. There were a couple times that happened. There was one time he met Buda Baker. Buda come up and went low and hit him, and Henry went down right after that. And I'm like, come on now.
And
I'm just going to say there's really not a player on the team that I can look at and be like, you did good this game. You know, you kind of get a pass. No, all of them could have done more. And there was one point Henry had got frustrated enough. I can't remember which reporter it was that put it out. But they were like, Henry's gathered up either the whole offense or the offensive line, and he was getting after him on the sidelines.
Well, somebody that he certainly should have been calling out was Marvin Bagley, or more like Badley, because
you can't let me have my line because I was going to say
such an easy one. When you said something about you had a line about the kicker. Like, I didn't know it was going to be one that was that easy.
Well, I mean, there was some foreshadowing in his name. How his last name starts off is Bad, and that is exactly what he was today, was Bad.
Do you think that we see him, and I guess if something hasn't happened before our preview, it's something that we'll talk more about.
No, we will not see him again. he is gone because
he's probably off the roster right now.
The Titans had already went when they had to move him up to the active roster. They went ahead and signed another kicker to the practice squad. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now, but yeah, Bad is gone.
He's out of here.
I was to the point at halftime, I said, don't even let him come back out.
Don't kick.
No, kickoffs, send Kern out there.
Yeah, Kern can do that.
Just do not bring him back out. Don't worry about going for field goals. Extra point, just go for two every time Don't.
So, overall, the performance was just bad all around. And honestly, we can just hope that they really rebound and begin to get things together, and that these practices coming up help them really form some more chemistry, and that this is not going to be the story of the season, because it's only week one. It's early. We've seen another good team today, the Green Bay Packers, get absolutely blown out by Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. So that just goes to show that, it happens, and it's okay to get blown out in week one, and there is time to turn things around.
One thing I want to say, by no means are we just trying to take up for the team or anything like that. Like, we are admitting they have a lot to figure out this next week. They need to get some things fixed. And, I mean, we've called out a couple players and a couple position groups where, look, this is not going to cut it. You need to do better.
And not that our opinion necessarily matters to them, but...
but, anyway, they just need to rebound and show us that they are the team that we think they are, that we have thought that they are before this game.
Exactly, because the Seattle Seahawks are no joke, and they're coming up next week, next Sunday, and it's not going to be in Nashville. It is going to be in Seattle. So,
which is going to be tough.
It's going to make it that much harder. And you can hear our thoughts on that game sometime later this week on our game preview podcast and video. So make sure that you're staying up to date with us, have the post notifications on, all that good stuff. Following us on social media so that you'll know when that comes out.
And for a chance to be featured on that show, we're going to be sending out a tweet asking for your score predictions for the Seattle game and some bold predictions. We had some featured this past week. So if you see those, that tweet or Instagram post or Facebook post out there, comment on it, and we might just feature it on the show.
Absolutely. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks for watching. This has been Titans Time, and as always, Titan up.